Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another week of Loud and Obnoxious with your hosts, Kip Wilson and Philly G. How are we, Philly?
I'm pretty damn good, dude. Life is good. Actually got a promotion and a fucking raise at my day job.
I didn't know we were giving out raises here at Hashport.
It's okay but it may make it harder to quit the...
I'm full of shit. It'll be hard for you to quit your day job once Hash goes.
Exactly.
I mean, we're blowing up every day. And for those that don't know, go check out all of our stuff over on the site. We got new t-shirts popping up all the time for the podcast as well as for just fandom. And then content's being pumped out every day from the guys from around the country.
But it's just, it's ironic or just idiotic, actually, how things work. I go to New Orleans for 10 days, party my fucking face off, come home, get a promotion and a raise.
Hey, good things happen to good people, so we're not going to hold anything against you tonight, Philip. We'll definitely give you the kudos, and we'll drink to you. So
yeah, hell yeah.
This first drink, we want to thank our guys over at Shinesty and Destination Draft, the guys that have been with us since day one. I don't have the ad read in front of me, and I don't really care enough to go find it, so we'll just give them a shout-out. Go shop, Shinesty.
Good shit.
Shinesty's got clever clothing for the Red Rock season, which is upon us. Beach garbs for those that are in the South that are listening. A lot of highlighter colors for the bros and bras out there, and for the chickadees as well.
Colorado.
Yeah, so don't forget to go get all your fix for clothes over at Shinesty, all your threads for your, I guess, your shows or your jazz fests, even though it's past. And then our guys over at Destination Draft, they have witty sports gear for our Braves fans and all those maybe in the local or regional area of the South. Those guys will take care of you. And they also, of course, if you want to do a draft party for this fall, they'll probably pay for more subscriptions when it comes to that. But for the meantime, we stop counting what weeks it is because it gets a little fuzzy with the breaks. But it's week of May 22nd. We're doing it from the luxury of Phil's home this week.
Quick side note, as you mentioned Destination Draft and draft parties, it's something we don't have on the docket. But I heard someone mention that the legalization of gambling, you know, may hurt or even kill fantasy sports.
You mean like DraftKings and things like that? Or do you mean like fantasy sports in actual, like just the ones you play with your friends and, colleagues?
Probably more so DraftKings, but both in general.
The DraftKings thing, they seem to have already put up some billboards for those that are on Twitter or active online. They've already put up billboards in New Jersey. Like, they're stoked about it. They said, I think I quoted it on a last week's podcast, that they're evaluating their company at 5 times the valuation that prior to the SCOTUS decision. So we'll see how it goes. I'm curious to see how the daily fantasy sports works. I'm not as big into it as the others. I've never done it.
Well, maybe once or twice. I can't say I've never done it. But
yeah, I don't do it often. I do year-long leagues and enough of those to where I don't need to pick a fourth quarterback to cheer for every fucking week.
Once you're in more than like 2 fantasy leagues, it just all gets watered down because you're sitting there watching a football game and like
you got
your quarterback
in one league
throws
and you're
to your wide one wide receiver like yes no and you're like, well, it's a conundrum. You're just like a mind fuck.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Catch 22. No, is that the saying? No, I don't know. We're not very smart, but that's not the point. But like you said, we have a fun docket tonight. We'll dive into, what was it? I guess playoffs for the NBA and the NHL. We're going to touch on a little bit of baseball. Something big happened for our season last night for baseball. And then we're going to start doing some new segments. You know, obviously it's just you and I now, so we're going to make it a little bit different conversation based, pretty much like what we did when we were sitting on the couch living together. So we have something we're going to call career change. Y'all tune in. We'll do that. And then we're going to have some hypotheticals, sports hypotheticals, probably life hypotheticals. But we saw good feedback from the Rene Russo conversation last week, so we figured we had to bring some new ones. But let's start this party off. We have continued to jinx our boys every time we mention their names. They win in spite of us. Do you want to fuck LeBron or fuck Ovechkin?
Fuck them both. I almost texted you yesterday about the Caps being like elimination night, whatever. I guess the mere fact that I fucking thought it spoiled it. But, I mean, after they lost 3 straight, I'm not even a hockey fan, and I was fucking giddy.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, we kind of jumped the gun in the first round.
Yeah.
Second round, they're pretty dominating against Pittsburgh after game 1. So sometimes they come out with a hot start and then lull, and then But yeah, I mean, Vegas sweet runs through fucking Winnipeg, who them and Nashville are easily the two best teams in the West. But the Caps are headed to Game 7 at Tampa Bay. We've been up and down all. And actually, if you, there's a tweet from the LNO account last October, and I said that it would be the Lightning versus the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup. And so, albeit no one predicted Vegas to be unbelievable or the Blackhawks to suck ass, but I may get one team right. That's pretty damn impressive.
The odds for Vegas to make the Stanley Cup before the season, or maybe it was to win it all.
It was to win at 5,000.
500 to 1.
I think it was, it's 500 to 1 to win. That's right. Sorry, I was thinking of the Leicester City one.
Dude.
That was 5,000. I mean, imagine that.
500 to 1. There's got to be somebody out there that put something on it.
But I mean, it's the Vegas Knights, so I'm going to guess that there's like 100,000 fucking DGN Nation out there, you know, like those fucks that live, they're like, well, fuck it, at 500 to 1, I know, you know, it's kind of like Kevin Malone from The Office when he said, if anyone gives you 10,000 to 1 odds, you take it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If John Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar, I'm a rich man. I think there's enough people to see a value pick, is what I'm saying, in a 500 to 1. And from what I've been reading, like Brett Feldman, the guy that does Bet the Board, podcast and a blog, he lives out of Vegas, and he was saying that they're looking, William Hill is looking at like a huge hit if Vegas wins it all, because people, everyone from the $10 bet to the someone that's like, fuck it, I'll put a grand on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's at least 100,000 or so people out there that live in Vegas because they're degenerate gamblers that
sure
did it.
I don't know about 100,000, but yeah, there's quite a few, there's definitely a bunch.
Oh yeah, and that may be true, that may be a little overzealous number, but.
And if it's Vegas versus Caps, you know who I'm going to be rooting for. You know who we're going to be rooting for.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm 100% on Team Vegas for if they come from the West against the Caps. But if it's Tampa Bay, I can see Tyler Johnson getting one. That would be kind of cool. But
I don't know who that is.
It's just the guy that I've watched, and that's why I picked him in October. So I was like, well, I get to retweet this and look like a goddamn genius if, you know, things come to fruition. But I probably just jinx that right there.
Vegas's troll tactics are pretty pretty impressive, too.
In what regard do you mean that?
Like pregame, like their light show.
Dude, they have like
shit.
Literal shows. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's fucking Vegas.
I mean, that's true. Like the Blue Man Group. And do you remember those guys that wear like the white masks? They did
the Jabba Walkies?
Yeah, whatever. They were in the fucking stands. Like, I bet you that shit is nuts. We need to try to get some media credentials for that thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, so we'll talk a little bit more hockey. We've obviously been anti-Ovechkin kind of for the Sergio effect, like I mentioned last week. But at the same time, if he gets to the Stanley Cup, it's still going to be a pretty good story. He's chasing his first versus an expansion team that's never been done. I mean,
well, actually, I don't even know how I did a lot of nothing this weekend and watched a lot of Sports Center bullshit. And an expansion team has made the Stanley Cup before. So, like in the 60s, the Blues, but it's a major caveat. It was like a whole new division, like eight new teams were added after the original six. And so
it
was a whole new, yeah, conference. So it was, no matter who made it, it was going to be an expansion team that made it. So,
I got you.
It's a bullshit stat, you know.
But at the same time, the Blues, since they can't hang their hat on shit else, you might as well take that. And I mean, speaking of the Blues, I wonder how they always feel. Like TJ Oshie was like the face of that franchise and like tried to get them all the way there and then didn't, and now he's been in Washington where they've been brutally successful. I mean, I don't feel bad for St. Louis, but that's just an interesting fact about the Blues as well. TJ Oshie. But yeah, that's talking hockey from two guys that don't know shit about fucking hockey. We just watched TV and every now and then read a tweet. Let's talk about one other guy we hate, and he seems to be also excelling in the playoffs. If we had had this conversation 2 days ago, I'd have been like, we're good. But
no,
LeBron's doing LeBron things.
I even told you when we were chatting on G-Chat or whatever, I was like, so fucking what if someone goes up to winning the first two games at home? Like, I've seen it before. It's not, you know, usually you go up 2-0, you win both games at home, yeah, you're good. But with a team like LeBron and the Cavs, losing the first two on the road means nothing. The old adage, I hate to even fucking say it because all the talking heads say it, is it's not a series until the home team loses. You know?
But that is true, though, because, I mean, they aren't expected to win game or two, one or two. You can lose game one and two, and we'll still see your ass in seven.
So yeah. That's,
and it looks like we may be headed for that. Celtics are like 1-7 now in the playoffs on the road. And I don't know if that's because they're young or, and it's not because Brad Stevens is a bad coach, but one way or the other, it's still happening. They're getting drummed on the road, but they're pretty solid at home. So.
And if you think that it goes to game seven in Boston, that LeBron's not going to win, you're a fucking moron. And I fucking hate you. No, I don't hate you, but I guarantee Cleveland will be favored in game seven on the road.
And you know what? I would probably bet them. And there's a fun fact. I took a future bet on the Cavs plus 160 or 180. It's not for much. I just did it for like a junk bet. And it may have been down when they were down 2-1 against Indiana for them to still win the Eastern Conference. And it had dropped, you know, dramatically. I mean, they were obviously never really high, the favorite, but the Sixers and the Celtics, the Raptors were all ahead of them. So I was like, I'll just take this for, you know, two units, and then we'll see how it goes. But I would rather see him fail than me just, I mean, I'm ready for that time, and they would get worked by Golden State.
Dude, right after fucking game two, after Cleveland got smoked, my buddy Tekka, Jonathan Schultes, he texted me, he's like, how much should we bet on Cleveland to win the series? And I was like, I couldn't bet enough. You know, I was like, let's max bet it. And I think it was like, I don't want to say 5-1, but it was over 3-1 on them winning the series.
That's smart odds. And I don't think you're the first person that's told me to, I should have done that.
I hate myself for not fucking doing it.
But I'm a stupid better.
I hate myself for not doing it.
Yeah, oh, see, and you're in the same boat. Like, yeah, if someone gives you that kind of odds, I thought I got it good at like 180, but just, oh, you're talking about just
after they were down 2-0, yeah. After they got blown out, you know, both games on the road, everybody and their fucking mother was saying, oh, series is over. I mean, I don't even know why I watch SportsCenter, or
I don't watch anymore. I just stick to ESPN for live action. Like, I don't want their talking heads. I can be selective with mine on Twitter and things of that nature.
Yeah,
if I want to go watch Big Cat and PFT, you know, satirically, is that right?
Satirically.
Satirically. Make fun of sports, then that's the more entertaining than listening to somebody else's, like, what do we give a fuck about Matt Hasselbeck's opinion? Like, I don't value that any more than I value your opinion. I'll take your advice on fantasy just as quickly as I'll take his.
Right.
I mean, the track record's probably equal, if I had to guess.
Well, yeah. And then, I mean, all these assholes get to say whatever they want. And, I mean, I guess we're these assholes, too, because we say whatever we want. And then,
but we don't expect anybody to, like, use us we're for, not- like, don't. Well, Kip said this. Like, no one says that. They're like, did you hear that stupid
shit
Kip said? Yeah,
but these dudes go on these shows and say it's 2-0, and everybody says it's over. You know, Cleveland can't do anything. They look terrible. They can't play defense. And I guarantee fucking to you, they're all saying the Cleveland will win now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will as well. And I'm one of those people.
Why are there no, not repercussions. I don't think there's repercussions, but Maybe on shows like Around the Horn, when you say something fucking dumb. And
shout out to our guys at Dan and Patrick. They have the Wheel of Punishment. Like, these guys, they have two gentlemen. I don't know, for the listeners out there, if you listen to us, then you should actually be watching quality content or listening to that. In other parts of the week, Dan's the Danettes. There's four of them. Two of them are betting against the other two on the Wheel of Punishment. Usually it includes, like, taking a bath with, like, anchovies and baked beans, or nacho cheese and Vienna, so, you know, like, just shit. And so it's great, like, punishment. So I think one dude has to do 5 minutes of stand-up comedy because he lost, and I think that actually is going on this week. I may have been behind today, but, like, that's what, you know, like, there should be repercussions, and that should be the same for the real people news too. Like, just, you shouldn't be just trying to get something out there first to be first. Get it right.
Well, not even first to be first, but just to, like, declare a series over, and then 2 days later, you're like, oh, they don't even say, oh, I was dead wrong, blah, blah, blah. They just say, they just give their take and say, okay, Cleveland's going to win now.
All right, what if I'm going to propose an idea to you, and this would hold everyone accountable, and I think it would make more people watch ESPN. What if everyone on sets that worked in Bristol had to sit under Slime Gack from Nickelodeon? That work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, here's Scott Van Pelt saying that Tiger Woods would win a major, and then Tiger, you know, doesn't. Scott's got to get gagged before the next major, and so it keeps you on your toes, keeps you in play.
For sure. I mean, it's not even like ESPN is professional anymore. It's just like
it's people's opinion, and I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I want to watch live sports.
So yeah, I mean, the fact that like I don't respect anybody really on there. You know, SVP's pretty cool. I respect him.
Yeah, and Russillo's like, gone now. Like, I feel like the talent pool at ESPN, like, I love Butch Gross, but he does more good
than a fucking creep.
He does it
We were looking at his fucking creep texts with that.
I don't think they were that creepy, to be honest with you. It didn't seem that crazy.
The shirtless pictures.
I send shirtless pictures to a lot of people that I've met on dating apps, as well as friends, and I'll say things like, look how good I look. And it's not, most of the time I'm being vain but humorous because I don't look good. But like,
serious. There was no facetiousness about that.
I oftentimes am not being facetious when I know I look good. I brag about it. I'm just saying the same thing. I don't mind Butch Gross' thing. It's not like he came across as like, you know, show me your clit. It was more just casual. Everyone's pants were on. That's not even that big of a deal. Brett Favre did worse and got nothing for it.
I mean,
it's not like it's a big deal. And she was asking for it. Literally, she was like, prove it.
She was leading him on.
Yeah, she was like, stop it. Like, come on, get the fuck out of here. If you didn't approve of it, you would have been like, John, please stop sending me messages like this.
Side note, folks, we're recording right now during LSU Mississippi State SEC baseball tournament. And we're just on the third pitch here. So
yeah, they started a little late, so I was able to get over here.
If you hear maybe some random cussing, it sounds like we have Tourette's. It just means something happened in the game.
And we'll elaborate so y'all can kind of keep along. But hopefully one of us will be able to tweet about this their team tomorrow. But obviously we can kind of migrate slowly from basketball. We hadn't talked about Golden State, but who gives a fuck? Golden State's going to probably roll Houston again tonight.
That's tonight, yeah.
We'll go from college baseball to pro basketball.
Wait. Yeah.
Mangum into the gap with a leadoff single.
All right, we'll try not to do play-by-play.
Yeah, but anyway. First team all SEC. He's going to get drafted. He went to my high school and to my college. Just kind of need to cheer for him.
I haven't really watched. I think I've maybe watched a total of 15 minutes of all the conference finals basketball games.
I think they've all been blowouts. I was hoping to see a shootout in one of these Western Conference games, and that's one reason I keep betting these goddamn overs of like 206 in the East and 225 in the West. And I'm like, if fucking Houston would have scored more than 80 goddamn points against Golden State last week.
I think they gave up.
Well, yeah, they gave up. I mean, obviously they gave up. I mean, they pulled the starters with 5 minutes ago, but I need them to be competitive into the fourth to make that over hit because it should be a 126 to something game, but that something should be like a 119.
Yeah, or even if you get blown out, 105, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Like, at least compete. Like, you pull in your starters, and both teams are pulling their starters. Fucking JaVale McGee is shooting threes with 2 minutes left. Of course I'm not going
to
hit that.
I want that dude to get more PT. He's as goofy as it fucking gets. It's pretty enjoyable to watch him play. And, I mean, he makes some fucking moronic decisions sometimes. But, man, that dude's a fucking athlete.
I'm not going to call him, like, a slut because he's played for a lot of teams, but he is. Like, I feel like I see him succeed in, like, all sorts. Like, he was in Denver for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun to watch him play. He's kind of a goober, like you said.
My dad, who's season ticket holder for the Nuggets, actually was saying while we were watching the game a couple nights ago, he's like, I want to see McGee get some more playing time.
And, you know, and the funniest part is, like, you could probably see him, like, let's say he's playing against Denver. You could see him at the beginning of the year. He could have been on, like, Golden State, and then you may see him at the end of the season on fucking Dallas. Like, you know, like he's just one of those, like, you never know where he is. He comes up in random trades.
Dude, if you're 7 feet tall and athletic like him, you will have a job forever. in the NBA.
What's the other dude who was also in Dallas? That may be who I'm kind of saying that name for. He was a trade piece all the time. Tyson Chandler, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
That motherfucker. I mean, he was, and I think Jordan will be another one of those guys that he can probably play 18 years because as long as he doesn't get a bone spur in his foot, he just dunks the ball and blocks the ball occasionally.
Tyson Chandler had some great, probably his maybe his best years as a pro in New Orleans when we were still the Hornets with Chris Paul, because they'd run this pick and roll, and CP3 would just throw alley-oops to him like all fucking game. It was called the Crescent City Connection.
Oh, okay. So Saul, this isn't on the docket of conversation, so I'm going to kind of keep you on your toes and have you answer this. And we're not NBA guys, but let's say you can merge the best of two rosters to compete against Golden State, who do you choose?
Well, I think that's pretty simple. Houston and Cleveland.
So you would want those two guards, and you would want LeBron. So you think that's the fix.
You have LeBron, CP3, and Harden?
Well, the reason I ask is because I've seen, like, Houston would combo with New Orleans because somebody you know, like, that's, and that's kind of what I would think you would say, but well, I did throw this.
Do we have Boogie or not?
You pick your rosters, like, from those teams. Yeah, I mean, this year he's obviously hurt, but, I mean, he'll maybe be there next year.
Like, we may not have him next year.
Well, who gives a fuck? I mean, either way, like you said, you were sucking Meritage dick last week. So, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, like, you still have Meritage and AD, and then you have two, like, legit guards in the back.
AD is, you know, one of those once-in-a-lifetime, even though, I mean, not really a lifetime, couple guys that come along every 30 years of his talent. You know, the other one's LeBron. But for some reason, AD probably has a better supporting cast than LeBron James. But, like, he can't, you know, will us through the playoffs. Now, he's still young. He's still real young. LeBron kind of went through the same path, too, you know. Well, no, LeBron never missed the playoffs his rookie year, I believe, and then was – been in ever since, but AD's been in, this is only his second time in the playoffs, but why has he only been in the playoffs twice?
Yeah, I agree, you know, and I think he may have even gotten pretty steamrolled in his first time, but I think his team was really dismal around him, and while we did beat up Alvin Gentry earlier in the season, I remind everyone that knows us, this podcast started in football season. We're more football guys, and I'm more hot takes guys. We're not NBA guys. So to say we shit on Gentry and he ended up being a great thing for AD, helping him grow as an athlete, would be an understatement. We shit on a coach that has actually possibly helped him gotten that far.
I still don't think he's a good coach. I just, numbers don't fucking lie. Numbers don't lie.
I think it's very easy to be a 500 ball coach in the NBA and still be a lot better than just what your record reflects. And not necessarily your Jerry Sloan's because he was great at Utah, but who was the dude that was in, like, Sacramento and Dallas and Houston? He had, the white hair and the white beard.
Adelman.
Yeah, well, maybe. No, not the owner.
Rick Adelman coached the Blazers to the finals against the Bulls. And
was he the Sacramento coach with Chris Webber?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he has I don't know what his career record is. This is when we need a third person, but we'll find one of those eventually. What's it called? Rick Adelman. I'll look him up, and we'll sponsor
Dude,
this.
They should have beaten. They were the better team than the Lakers that year. They're just a couple freak plays, and probably
dude, no, I think when somebody made a point the other day that Kobe and Shaq team were so goddamn amazing. Well, they averaged like a 9-point victory per game and went like, I know one year with C-Web, they went
before
7.
Before the Lakers had their dynasty with Kobe and Shaq, or the year they won their first championship, maybe the second, the Kings took them to the wire every fucking game, and if it weren't for the Robert Horry incredible three, then they would have won that series.
All right, guess. What do you think Rick Adelman's career win percentage is?
68%.
Why don't we do it in hundreds, because it's in hundreds? Like, something, something, something. Six.
Oh, career wins?
No, average. So, like, Alvin Gentry's is 470. What do you think Rick Adelman's was?
Okay, I said 68%, so that would be 680.
He is 582. So, I mean, like, those teams, like, I feel like there's a fuck ton of those coaches that, like, were just around for forever. And, yeah, you can have, like, five or six successful years. But I think Alvin Gentry has some shitty teams.
Rick Adelman was always a successful coach. I mean, 58%, that's, you know, I guess it's just slightly above average. But
And what field would you consider that as? I mean, obviously it's season by season. But, like, I mean, Alvin Gentry's had some really shitty teams and done some really, like, your first year in Phoenix, or, you know, your last year, you have the Clippers in the early 2000s. That's not a good time to be there.
The early 2000s Clippers, you're excused for that. And what, I think he was the coach of the Pistons?
Who?
Gentry.
He went, 1 year with
Didn't
Miami.
He have Grant Hill? And he sucked.
Everybody, yeah, they went to the playoffs.
But I bet he had a losing record.
He went 29-21 overall. Yes, he probably did. They also used to play a lot fewer games back then.
What?
Yeah,
in the playoffs or the regular season?
His first year, Detroit. He probably 37 games.
He came in mid-season.
All 3 years he was in Detroit, he only coached half a season.
Are you looking at home or away or something?
No, it just says year, games. Because, I mean, then he was at the Clippers and he did 82, 82, 58. It seems like he keeps getting shit canned in the middle season. But so it was a fun little hypothetical. What two teams would you combine? I thought Pelicans and Houston would be dominating and would probably be able to beat them.
It's just...
Nobody... Like, you could avoid not using Cleveland or
it's... Boston. I hate to give LeBron credit, but like, look what he's doing with nobody around. I mean, I guess he's got another all-star, Kevin Love.
So would you say LeBron and any team could do it? Like LeBron in Minnesota, like with Cat and Jimmy Butler, they would demolish?
Pretty much.
That's fair. Okay.
Pretty much.
And I guess if you took out LeBron, then it would be a fun conversation. But let's kind of dive straight into hypotheticals. We've had some fun ones, and our new segment, Career Change, is a hypothetical. And so I got a career change for you, Phil. I want you to tell me which one you'd rather have and which one fares better. Would you rather be a backup quarterback like Jim Sorgi, someone that doesn't see the action, doesn't get famous?
Is he still in the league?
No, I think he left shortly after.
Oh, no, he was Peyton's backup. Yeah.
Or would you be a PGA journeyman, you know, maybe a win every blue moon, but you keep your card? Which would you prefer?
Well, I guess being a backup quarterback, you take out the CTE factor.
Yeah, I feel like you may have caught it a little bit in high school and college, but at the same time, if you played enough college football or high school football, then you probably didn't get hit too much if you were a pro-style athlete. Like, those guys usually succeed pretty well in that level. So let's say, do you think Sorgi will have CTE? Like, I don't feel that he'll have that issue.
I have no idea how that shit works. It seems like some people get it, you know, that you wouldn't expect, and then, you know, some people that you totally expect. Well, you don't know until after the fact, but, like, you know, like Troy Aikman and Moose Johnson, that are fucking great announcers, seem like they've got it all fucking going on up there.
Well, right now they do, but I think the issue kind of derives from a later point. And those guys also
Junior Seau.
Yeah, Junior Seau was also taking hits. He was making 20 tackles a game. Troy Aikman was maybe taking
Moose
three
Johnson
hits.
Moose Johnson was ramming his head into people every fucking second.
And you'll see Daryl and Jay Nemechek and the other aces that came out of that Dallas team. Some of them will have issues.
Novacek?
Yeah, he was
the tight end.
Yeah. What's it called? I was just thinking of other players that were stellar that you don't have problems of, but they took a lot of hits.
Well,
I mean, Michael Irvin seems to be fine. Emmitt Smith's wife is really hot. I mean, these are just facts of Cowboys.
When you initially posed the question to me, I said I'd go with journeyman golfer, but then I thought about it a little more, and the fact that you're not taking fucking hits, and a backup quarterback's name is much more well known than a journeyman golfer, and you're making about equal money, probably. Maybe
I'd say the backup quarterback probably. It's hard. A journeyman, like, you play 32 events. Let's say you're keeping your card, so you're at least getting a $1.5 million paycheck. But we'll say you get a sporadic win. We're not going to say you're Webb Simpson because you have
one
four
win,
wins.
Though, and
well, I mean, Aaron Wise, he's 21. He's a relatively no-name. Like, he doesn't even have the smoking hot girlfriend yet. Like he's, but he just won this weekend. But then you have guys like Charlie Hoffman who've been playing for, he's 40 almost.
Well, I know
and his career earnings are up there, but it's because he played 32 events. He traveled in hotels. He had to play all these events to keep his job. You're not the Jordan Spieth, but at the same time, Jim Sorgi, you're not the Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I think I
touchdown Jesus.
I think I go with backup quarterback.
You probably get paid a little bit more.
And your name is like your name is more well known, you know, and you can say you don't have to say like I'm a football player for the New Orleans Saints. And you're like, fucking Google me. And you know like, that, yeah. That holds a little more
Who's your backup in New Orleans right now?
Well, we signed Tom Savage from the Texans.
Okay. See, ours is Cooper Rush for Dallas. And so the guy was a rookie last year, and he just played better than Mark Sanchez. And, like, you know, he was like, fuck it.
And Mark Sanchez got busted for PEDs.
That guy's ridiculous. But it's like, yeah, so that guy right now is not earning his keep. But if you're an eight-year backup in the NFL, like, then that pension's delicious.
Prime and example
you,
of...
You have veteran minimums at least, if not better.
Prime example of somebody who's doing it right is Chase Daniel, who we've talked about before on the show with Steen.
Yeah. And Mike Matt Flynn did that as well?
Well, yeah, he cashed in, but he never got...
He never played. No. He played that one Monday Night Football game where he threw 6 touchdowns.
He had a 500-yard game or whatever, and he got $30 million, $40 million contract from it, and then didn't even make the fucking team.
I know, isn't that nuts? Like, and obviously, it's not all guaranteed in football like it is in other sports, but it kind of comes back. I think I would rather be playing golf, but even if it means that I'd, you know.
Chase Daniel got drafted or, you know, came out of college. I don't know if he was drafted or.
Well, who gives a shit? Are you basing it off notoriety or, like, what your end of day paycheck will be or how quality of life?
He got lured away from the Saints to be a backup quarterback for Philly and got paid very nicely. He got lured away from Philadelphia to be the backup quarterback for the Chiefs. He never started any fucking games. He may have started a game at the end of the season, but like every quarterback he's played under is largely stayed healthy.
And that's a great job to have. Like being Jim, I use Jim Sorgi because I think he's the most model one because Peyton was a consistent starter up until the injury. Like, Brady always had a couple different ones, and they actually played, but Manning's backup didn't. You know, like, even for Eli, he had 4 or 5 different ones. But that life is plush. You live in New York City. You're the backup quarterback for Eli Manning. You don't do shit. But I think I would rather spend my time playing golf all over this sick planet. Like, you're like, yeah, I'm going to go play the Asian tour for a little while and go bang whores in Dubai. Or you could just do such and such fly private flights around America all year. I mean, it's a really
tough question. I'm just thinking about it more like, you know, not that I
was going I was basing mine off of quality of life.
Yeah.
Paycheck, obviously, neither, we're talking about pros, so they're both great, but that was just my theory there.
Yeah. No, there I'm still undecided.
All right.
After your response, I've gone back to undecided.
All right, that's fair. All right. So we'll address that maybe in the future. But let's stay on the hypotheticals, and then we'll close up with a little baseball talk, whether it be pros or college, if this score changes for us. I have a couple of hypotheticals. They're semi-sports related. I've probably used them all, and I've heard them online. Dan Patrick's a big, Bill Simmons a big one, Barstool's, those guys.
We're really blowing Dan hard today.
Yeah, I've been listening to him a lot more recently because he's just more fun to listen to. All right, so this is a fun one. Would you rather be known as a famous actor, musician, or athlete? What sport, what music? Or, I mean, I'll give you some hypotheticals.
I'm going to let you answer this first.
All right. So
I think most people...
I'm going golf. I think that would be... I'm going to go with the same backup question from the last one on the career change. I think being a pro golfer is the dream job. And DJ has made it look really fucking awesome. Tiger, outside of getting married, has made it look pretty fucking awesome. Phil can get away with insider trading because he's so good at it. I mean, this seems like it's a slam dunk for me.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you one thing that my future kid, if that ever happens, will have a golf club in his hand. immediately.
Yeah, and I agree. But like, if you're, we're not gonna say you're the George Clooney, but you're the middle of the pack kind of actor. I don't even know who the fuck name I would drop in this instant, but maybe like a TV actor that hasn't made it into movies. Maybe one of your Mac from Always Sunny. Would you rather have Mac's career, or would you rather be a musician like, I don't know who would be middle tier, someone that tours all right, someone like
Nickelback?
Nickelback kills it, like an Humphreys McGee, you know? Or would you rather be an athlete that's middle of the tier as well?
I would, you know, I love sports and I love music, and I don't know which one I love more, but I would go musician. Because, like,
When I told you this question earlier, I liked your answer.
Yeah, there's no scrutiny for a musician. I mean, people are going to critique your play, say you're a douche, whatever, but it's not like every move you make that the public eye is watching. You know,
it's not as weird. Like if a band member gets arrested for partying in a hotel, he's a lot less likely to catch guff for it as opposed to an actor or a sports
athlete.
You can
do drugs and fuck chicks and get in trouble and people still love you, you know, whereas you fuck up in the NFL, you fuck up as an actor. You know,
Robert Downey Jr. had the luxury of doing it in the 80s. So we won't. And I mean, he's made it big since getting caught with prostitutes. And I mean, I think half of his crew is dead now from cocaine or heroin. So that's kind of like a mix and match, though. Like, what kind of band would you do? How successful are you for middle of the pack musician? Like, what qualifies you as a successful?
To be honest, I mean, it seems like these guys.
It says famous.
Like, members of J Rad. You know, Joe Russo's almost dead. Shout out to them. Fucking really good.
I was thinking like a John Legend would be where the status I would hope to be. Somebody that would
he's
be
huge.
That, or yeah, that's where I would want to be.
It seems to me like
musician.
The guys in J Red are, you know, they got various projects that they're not really wealthy, you know.
Well, my question in that regard is like, so yeah, you get the luxury of possibly being not taken pictures of when you're at fucking Beagle Bagel or, you know, like wherever the hell you are having breakfast at Starbucks. Like, no one's hounding you in that regard if you're just like that. You're successful yet flying under the radar. You get to travel for your cool job. But like, if you're a middle tier actor, someone's going to recognize you from that one time you were Adnan on the, you know, like that one HBO special you did. So,
but even like, you know, I'm sorry to bring them up, but you know, we all know they're my favorite band. You know, the members of Phish, they don't have any radio hits. They're filthy fucking rich because they tour a lot. They actually don't tour, but they have to
work hard for their money as well. I just always feel like
their net worth's $50 million, and they could pretty much easily walk outside of like, you know, their home area, the Northeast. They could easily walk around the city and not have one person know who the fuck they are.
I agree. And I think besides probably maybe two of them I would know, I would recognize probably fucking Gordo because of his stupid fucking attire. And then obviously Trey. So I agree with you. Like, most of those times you can fly on the radar. But if you are like that John Legend or like the Bruno Mars, like Justin Timberlake, those guys where you can't even go to your grocery store.
Dude.
Yeah, like that would be, that's the only time I would want to choose musician, I think. Yeah. I would want to be like, you want people mobbing you? No, but then you would just be able to do whatever you wanted. Mary Jessica Biel?
Yep. I mean, I'll tell you, I can walk. You know, I have a relative that is, you know, pretty under the radar, you know, famous. And when I hang out with him, he can't walk 10 feet without having someone stop him.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
and I'm ever like, dude, like, do you get tired of this shit? And, I mean, he's like, well, you know, first, those people are going to remember that for the rest of your life, so you might as well be nice to them.
And that's called being not a cock. So that's called being nice. Like, that's how you genuinely go through life. That's because you're a good person. You know, like, your relative of sorts is a good person. Like, but there's actors and, like, musicians and athletes that are like, I think there's a couple golfers out there that are kind of pricks in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorites in particular was not a very friendly person before the turn of the leaf over. But at the same time, like, that's the echelon. Like,
I will never forget. Like, I was probably 11 years old, and I was at the Lake Tahoe Celebrity Golf Tournament, going around with my relatives.
Let's be careful how you slander my boy here.
Who?
I'm just worried about whoever you slander.
Oh, no. This is... You're not going to worry about this. So I was meeting all these cool athletes. Everybody was being nice, you know, talking to me and giving me autographs or whatever. Then my uncle did this interview with Mike Schmidt, and I was 11 fucking years old. So, you know, 11-year-olds are pretty antsy, you know, can't stay still. And I sat there like a good little boy. And as soon as the interview was over, I asked Mike Schmidt for an autograph, and he was like, no. Wouldn't take a picture with me. Wouldn't sign my little notebook, and I'll never fucking forget that. And
I have a friend that said the same thing about Payne Stewart, and that's kind of like crazy. Like, he's well known for being nice, and he told me he's like, when I was a young kid, I asked Payne Stewart for an autograph, and he acts like, you know, David fucking Sims, like, I'm working here. And I was like, man, you're the only person I've ever heard say that. And he's like, I may have just had a bad chance, but I don't know.
No, it sticks with you forever. But I think Mike Schmidt's pretty commonly known as a prick.
Is he?
Yeah.
And I wonder how many, like, other guys are out there. You'll have to get some stories for us from maybe folks you know or encounter in the coming years. You know, like... world-renowned asshole, Will Clark, you know, like, or Nolan Ryan, you know, like, I've heard Will Clark's not a nice guy. Shout out to
Will Clark. Went to my high school in New Orleans.
Really? Yeah, he was Will the Thrill back then, just a good old boy, and then meets,
you don't even have to talk to Will Clark to know that he's an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. When you become at that level, I can understand.
Like, I mean, I remember
I'm good and I know it. It's a classic.
I remember being at a game and, like, he was the poster boy for what you think of as a baseball player. Like, he grabbed his nuts 100 times during the game. It's like shuffled his nuts, like grabbing his dick all the time. And I was just like, that's what you.
Well, let's talk baseball for a second. We've teased it a couple times. I do have one more hypothetical, but we can save that for next week's. Our boys, Rockies.
Hell yeah.
Home team took first place in the NL West yesterday. Your boys are atop the AL East.
They are fucking crushing.
Yeah, they're really fucking good. Even guys, Tanaka's pitching well. Severino's pitching well. I'll try to keep up with it so I can talk with you about it on Tuesday. Sonny Gray is Sonny Gray. I mean, a little bit young, but I don't know how well y'all are going
to
be.
We give up 4 or 5 runs a game and win every game.
Yeah, and it's nice to have that luxury, and that's the antithesis of the Rockies right now. Their offense has been not putrid, but at times I could argue it's been fucking putrid.
And they actually have a losing record at home.
Yeah, so we have a friend, and I've written about it, but we have friends that listen to this podcast. The Coors Field Fade is what they've started calling it. They've been betting against our boys here, and like last year and in years past, because we had a weak-ass bullpen, we bet the over and against the...
The SEC's fucking stacked. Florida was the number one team. Ole Miss is top 5.
Yeah.
Pierce is no longer with us on this podcast, so we don't have to hear about the Ole Miss team, but I'll give you a rundown. They're fucking good, so they're a contender. And I think Arkansas, I mean, despite Mississippi State being able to beat them as well, they're a top 5 team. So you wonder who we are. I wonder who y'all are, because y'all are usually historically great.
Yeah, but we were expected to have a down year, which is just so odd because we always reload. And the stupid, fickle fucking fans of LSU, sorry, friends and family, but... Just as a fan base, we're out of our fucking minds.
The expectations are so high.
Yeah, like, oh, people want to fire Maneri. I'm sorry, weren't we in the World Series last year, the World Series final?
Yeah, y'all had one, and y'all beat us in the Supers.
You know?
I think we had not started this podcast, but there was still shit talking. We had spoken about me flying down.
Yeah, yeah,
But y'all had gotten hot at the right time. It almost seems like it's this year's Mississippi State, what we've done over the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, so college baseball's gearing up. If there's a reason that, you know, if we get the opportunity, we'll make a trip over to Omaha.
I have some friends that are always down to rent an RV and do some stupid shit. So we can take this show on the road if the chance presents itself. You know, well, Mr. You're in charge of people now. You're big promotion.
The really crazy, you know, diehard LSU baseball fans, they plan their summer trip to Omaha, you know, regardless of whether LSU is making it, because they just...
I mean, there's Mississippi State fans just assume that 1,000% that do that.
They just... No, but Omaha loves LSU.
Yeah, Omaha's a pretty big fan of Mississippi State. There's a lot of maroon. We travel well. They do 30 for 30s on our teams and hillbilly fans. That They're like, we have $7,000, so we just picked up our house and brought it to Omaha. And we're like, why do you have to paint this picture? Like, why can't we get a little bit of the benefit of that? Like, fucking A.
I mean, y'all had
we were in the finals 3 years ago.
You had three Hall of Famers on there. Is Will Clarke a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the highest batting average in college baseball
history. And Rafael Palmeiro would have been a Hall of Famer if he wasn't left such a lying, cheating fuck.
Oh, pro baseball. I thought you were talking about college. Oh, speaking of which, did you see the fun story about Rafael Palmeiro hit as a 52-year-old hit a home run in some, like indie league last night?
Yeah.
Why? Well, guy's a juice monkey. I mean... Period. With the finger.
Speaking of juice, my boy Cano.
This is all here. This is called Hot on the Diamond.
Yeah.
We're not smoking anything. We're just talking it. Your boy Cano, ex-Yankee, suspended 80 games for PEDs.
Yeah. And Mark Teixeira, who was his teammate, said that he's not surprised. I mean, so if that's not all but ratting him out, you know, he claims his reasoning was that, oh, his former trainer was on that Biogenesis report or whatever. So, I mean, he's not ratting him out. But, yeah, I mean, he's more or less saying, yeah, I knew that dude was up to something. And kudos to Brian fucking Cashman, man. Best move you've ever made as the Yankee GM. I mean, maybe not best move ever, but.
Giving him, yeah, not signing him. Like, I think y'all offered him $119 million, and he took $143 from Seattle. That was that Jay-Z Rock Nation representation. They got him the most.
Yeah.
But he fell off the face of the earth.
Fall off the face of the earth. He just wasn't what he was. Well, he had the right field porch at Yankee Stadium. He's a lefty.
Yeah, well, at the time of the new – was he there for a new stadium opening? I don't think so. No. He's been in Seattle longer than the new stadium.
The new stadium was in 2008, 2009. We won the World Series in the new stadium.
Oh, okay. So he was on that team with, like, A-Rod. No, okay. Well, I mean, I can see where he probably picked up steroids back in 2008 with that Cashman team. Speaking of guys that are on of steroids, baseball players. But, yeah, so he kind of just faded in the West Coast. Like, you play late at night. You play in the middle of the day. Your team is never successful. And then when you look at it, and I was having this conversation with maybe BVD or Moose, go check out the stuff on Hatch Sports. We talked about the Cano. Like, where would you rank him on the baseball second baseman? Would he have gotten into Cooperstown beforehand?
He's not
Altuve.
He's still not that old. I think if he had another, like, 3, 4, 5 seasons of hitting 280, 20-something
would you put him in
runs
before Ian Kinsler?
Yes.
Ian Kinsler went to 2 World Series, but didn't win one. He probably has a higher batting average, but he did win us a World Baseball Classic, and he's never been defamed, and he was traded for Prince Fielder, and I'm still
upset. Well, you said before steroids for Cano.
That's true.
I don't think Kinsler's a Hall of Famer.
I don't know really what qualifies it, but I can understand that. I don't think it's a very...
But I guess second baseman's a different beast because... It used to be just a bunch of pussies playing there for defense. Like, there's before the steroid era, there was never never a second baseman that was known for mashing, you know?
Well, like, didn't Pete Rose play second?
I don't think so.
No, it just
says... A second baseman mashing homers, like...
Oh, see, I can't think of anyone that did that, and I'm thinking Chuck Knobloch wasn't a bad batter,
but he lost
his gourd and came through to first. I don't know what position. Maybe Pete played first or outfield.
Rose?
I'm trying to think.
He probably played multiple positions, but I want to say third base, or I think it's outfield.
Man, it doesn't fucking matter.
He's I've just named as a, every fucking position on
we
the
We did
diamond.
Name all that, so... Oh, well. What's it called? I guess I could look that up on Fangraph if I wanted to. But it's not really that big of a deal. But yeah, that all, I think that maybe kind of wraps up our baseball corner we've done. This is my last hypothetical. It's for fighting, and we're going to tease a little boxing fighting conversation in the coming weeks. But we'll call it in the octagon. If you could have anybody in the octagon, who would you want to fight? And let's say you win. Like, so even if you may get knocked around a little bit, the outcome is you win.
So just somebody that I could fucking hurt that deserves to be fucking hurt.
Yeah, like I guess you could say Hitler if you wanted to. But at the same time, I was thinking of someone like, if you're like, if I could get my hands on this person, rah.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep it in like the fighting world.
All right. That's fair.
Floyd fucking Mayweather. I mean,
the dude. I hope you have to meet this guy in a couple weeks and get to refer him to our podcast.
That is possible. That is very possible. And then I'll probably change my tune and be like, he's my best friend.
I can't wait till that happens. And we're teasing this. This is a 2-week tease. Y'all keep listening to this podcast and we'll tell y'all what's bound to happen. But yeah, that's not a bad one. Especially.
But yeah, I mean, the dude is a cocky, fucking woman-beating, illiterate piece of shit. And he's also a pussy in the ring that just sits there and doesn't do anything. You know, like, he's just a bitch. He's just straight up definition bitch. And he deserves to get his ass kicked. I don't even have to be responsible for it. I just want to see him get his
ass
kicked.
Well, I mean, he very well may happen. And that, you know, we don't know enough about
I want to see him bleed out the face and, you know, maybe get a concussion. You know, not long term. I don't wish anybody long term.
Yeah, but imagine catching, like, you're a career boxer where you're wearing gloves. And albeit when you spar and when you box, even if you are one of the dancing fools like Floyd. Imagine going from just like an 8-ounce glove or whatever the fuck it is to a fucking knee. Someone just knees you across the Anderson Silva comes across and just knees you in the goddamn head and be like, welcome to the octagon, bitch. Like, he's in for a rude awakening. So that's a great one. But I would love to see Phil do it.
More hypotheticals, what in MMA do you enjoy seeing someone lose worth? Like a quick knee to the face where they're just out? Or someone that gets on top of someone and just pummeling them in the face like 40 times in a row.
So I kind of like the pummeling in the face. And my dad and I used to watch this when I was in like high school when it used to be on Fox or whatever. So you could see like random fights, random nights of the week. And my dad would be like, oh, shit. Oh. So it was funny because these guys would actually like light into each other. I don't want to see it quickly go down. Like, I want to see you beat the hell out of each other. But I feel like the longer bouts or matches or whatever the fuck they call them are because people are, like, leg grappling and, like, humping. So, like, I need, like, upright boxing but with kicks. Like, the Anderson Silva.
You contradicted yourself because, no, I'm saying, like, are you so
I want someone to, like.
You take someone to the ground in a wrestling move and then you're on top of them and then you're just punching them in the face.
That's not usually how it ends, though. Like they knock that guy pretty clearly to the point where he's not defending.
Yeah,
because it's never just like you're on top of.
I guess it is a 1-2.
It's not like you pin him down and you just like you know like how your brother would beat you up. Yeah. You know, it's more like a submission when they go to the ground. Whereas a knee to the head or something like a kick, when you see those guys get kicked in the jaw and they just drop like paper, I love those. Those are great.
Right. So yeah, I guess my question kind of went, you know, 1-2.
Yeah.
Usually it's a knee that like stuns them,
yeah.
And then they go down.
And beat the hell out of them real quickly. But then they're separated.
Or what about
fast.
Just the fucking knee or the kick or the punch that just knocks them out cold right
yeah,
then and
I like
there?
Those are fun because it doesn't feel as like bad. Now I can watch those all day, like those compilations and shit. Whereas I cannot watch, you know, like when someone kicks a dude in the head and then his leg is like flimsy and breaks and then he tries to stand on it, that shit like makes me sick. So I can't watch when the leg is broken, but I can watch that leg make contact and knock that fucker out.
Yeah, for
that'll make fun. But so that's how it's kind of like I can't watch ridiculousness, you know, like where the skateboarders like break their arms. Can't do that.
I mean, I'm not one of those people that like will. You know, nearly vomit at the sight of one of those nasty things. Look, I saw, you know, I saw a still photo of that dude from Louisville that had his bone coming out of his
leg. Yeah, I remember that.
Like, it doesn't gross, I mean, it's awful, and it is gross, but it's not something that I can't. I've got a weak stomach. Mm-hmm. And
well, I'm not going to vomit. I'm just going to be like, nah, not my cup of tea. And I don't want to watch some guy jump out of a building, you know, or shit like that.
Yeah, fuck that.
But, like, I've seen those things, like the Faces of Death website. We've all seen those.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone, we grew up in the day of the internet.
Shit,
grew.
They got that show on Netflix. What about the Evil Genius, it's called?
Man, that shit is awesome. I finished it.
And they show the dude blow up.
It's fucking nuts. And we're not doing a spoiler. It's literally in the first 5 minutes. Just get ready to watch this dude blow up. Shit is fucking nuts.
Yeah. I was like, no way they're going to show this guy explode. I mean, it wasn't like he exploded into 100 pieces.
It wasn't like, yeah, I agree.
But they showed the dude blow up and die.
Yeah. Like, that thing blew up, and then he died from the wounds, we'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that shit's awesome. But in addition to checking out Evil Genius, check out LNO Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We're more regular on Twitter than Instagram. If somebody wants to start running our Instagram page, give us a shout. Kip@hashsports.com. Shoot me an email.
We'll definitely have some action on the Insta, though. We're
going to tease that. That's 2 weeks. We have, for the next 2 weeks, we got sick-ass stories that we'll prep y'all with.
And many stories after that.
And even more to come. So it's going to be a solid summer with the lull in sports. We have high-octane stories to come. So
yeah, and we mentioned Red Rocks earlier. I'm making my Red Rocks debut this Sunday.
What show Sunday?
Disco Biscuits. Not
Let me tell you what I'd rather do. Nah. I'd rather stick my dick in a meat grinder than go to a fucking Bisco show.
Look, I'm not going to say they're super.
Dogs up 2-0, sorry.
I'm not going to say they're like super talented musicians and, you know, they change
my
life.
It's the crowd that does it for me.
Oh my God, the crowd is fucking scummy as shit. Like, everybody there looks like they're homeless.
It's like the people that hang out on Colfax combined with the people that hang out on 16th Street Mall.
But it's one of those bands that if you, you know, enhance your mind, you know, you can take that however you want to take it, that they've got laser beams and,
yeah,
you know,
you'll have fun. You make the best of any situation you're in.
And
that's
Red Rocks.
Why I put you on this podcast with me, because we're taking a shit situation, we're making it better. That's why I brought you on. But that'll be fun. Yeah, Red Rocks season is upon us, so tune in next week for stories. We'll hear from Phil, life experiences, maybe some intramural sports, as well as recap everything.
Oh, yeah, we got playoff softball next Monday.
Shit, it's just getting intense over here at Loud Obnoxious. But don't forget to go rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Yeah. 5-star reviews, I think, is how it works.
Check out the website.
Yeah, check out the website. What is that website?
www.hashsports.com and on Twitter @TheHashSports.
Yep. So that pretty much wraps it up. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers.
Hoot at.